This weekend, as we gather together to bring to a close the Christmas season, as we ponder again the meaning of God's incarnation in human flesh, we hear about the stage in Jesus's life when he comes to be baptized by John the Baptist. And we might ask ourselves why Jesus would submit to John's baptism. After all, he was God incarnate. He was the very presence of God in the world. Why would he submit to a ritual that was calling people to put aside their former selves, repent, and to change their lives to be more in accord with God's plan? Theologians have always pondered the mystery of Jesus' baptism. And because it's recorded in all four of the gospel stories, we can be pretty sure that there actually was an historical event when Jesus came to John the Baptist to go through the ritual of baptism. So why did Jesus do that? Well, what we know about Jesus from the records in the scriptures is that he was always a very faithful Jewish man who trusted and believed in the traditions of the Jewish faith. But he also moved beyond them when it was called for. Jesus had a healthy respect for the people from whom he came, at least in the sight of humankind. Traditionally, theologians suggest that Jesus, because he was both completely divine and completely human, having two natures in one, because he was fully human, actually grew in wisdom and age and grace and came to understand more fully what his role as Savior of the world was going to be. So in a certain sense, in Jesus' human side, it was important for him to come to a point when his mission would be declared as something special and holy. And so we have this scene of Jesus coming to John the Baptist, as had so many other really faithful Jewish people who were trying to put into their lives the meaning of God's message, and sometimes didn't see that reflected in the Jewish leaders or the scribes and the Pharisees of their day. And so they would come to this prophet John, who asked them to take a look at their lives and change, to transform, not because they were evil, but because they could get better, because they could acknowledge the power of God really moving in their lives, just as they had come to understand the importance of worship and certain spiritual traditions. So on the one hand, we see Jesus submitting to this baptism and the people around him beginning to see his specialness. In each of the gospel stories, it also says that after he went through that ritual of baptism, a voice was heard declaring that this was the beloved Son of God, upon whom God's favor rested. And so, it's a kind of reminder to all of us who believe in the power of Jesus that when he recognized the importance of God's Spirit in his life and recognized his mission, he from that moment on became more publicly responsible for what God was doing through him. So too, you and I, baptized, most of us here, if not all of us today, some of you may be part of the RCIA process and so are looking at baptism as a new part of your lives. But for most of us here who were baptized as infants, we sometimes have to be reminded of the mission that that baptism asks of us. Each of us, like Jesus, is to give witness to the faith we believe in. Not just to keep that for ourselves as an intimately private connection between God and us. Sometimes we feel that way, and Perhaps in the history of the church, sometimes we've even stressed that unique personal relationship that each person has with God. And while that's true, what's most important is that that personal relationship with God makes us part of a community of believers who recognize our communal responsibility to give witness to our faith in the world. We don't exercise our faith just here. When we come to worship God and to be nourished by the Eucharist, we are to be recharged for the real work of our baptisms, to give witness to the power of God in our lives, in the very real world in which we live. And so the question becomes, how do we do that? And of course, the reference point is to take a look at Jesus and how he did that through his baptismal faith. He led a life of goodness and care, concern for the poor, helping people to see a straighter path to God's way of life, and giving his very self for the sake of the community. That framework and that example is exactly how you and I ought to live out our baptisms, to recognize the power of God in our lives, to do good, to try to bring justice into the world in which we live, to care for the sick and for those who need our help, to recognize the greater purpose of our living, not just here, but for the sake of eternal life, and to share that message gently and kindly with all those we meet. So today's an opportunity for you and for me to remember our own baptisms, to reflect on that meaning in our own lives, and most importantly, to give witness to the power of God in our lives through the way we live out there in the world. So I have a challenge for you. I'd like you to spend some time this week, if you don't mind, trying to remember or find out, if you don't know, when you were baptized. What was the day of your baptism? Now, for those of you who might have had parents like I did who had a baby book, it was reflected in there. Or if your parents took note of when you were baptized, maybe there's a note somewhere, or perhaps you already know the date. But if you have no clue, here's how you can find out. If you know the church that you were baptized in, just give them a call and ask them to look up your name and to tell you when your baptism was. And then I'd like you to circle that on the calendar for this year. And when that anniversary date comes up, remember how special you are in the plan of God and how much God relies on you to continue to build the kingdom. To take that vision of Isaiah that was spoken of in the first reading and to allow others to see that straight path toward the presence of God that Isaiah the prophet spoke about. And to do that because of the example you are giving and the faith you profess each day.